I'm going to call the meeting of the Senate Ag and Natural Resources Committee to order and Secretary call the roll.
Garnos?
Yes.
Gary Hansen? Klochek? Lentz? McNenny? Peterson? Sutton? Tom Hansen? Denwald?
Here. We have a quorum. How about a minute to the past meeting? Any motions on that? Do I hear a motion? Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, same sign, motion carried. See, we've got just two bills to take up. First is the Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources. This is an act to increase the maximum amount allowable for the livestock ownership inspection fee. That's on the state brand board, and we're ready for you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Kurt Mortensen. I'm a member of the South Dakota brand board. 1058 is a request to raise the statutory cap on the fee that we can charge to inspect livestock, either changing ownership or leaving the brand area, which is western South Dakota. As you're aware, these fees pay for the inspection program. So this is one of those situations where the fees collected pay for all the inspection program itself. We don't rely on any general fund money. This is paid for by the producers who have cattle inspected. What we've run into, frankly, is some escalation in costs, but extreme variability in numbers is probably our biggest problem. Our expenses for this program have run in the neighborhood of slightly more than $1 million. At 80 cents, if we drop under 1.2 million, it doesn't pay for itself. And that's kind of where we're at. The drought in western South Dakota has diminished the number of cattle that routinely move to the point where it looks like this year, and we're 7 months, I think, or 8 months into the year, we're not going to make 1.2, I don't believe. So we're going to run a deficit this year. And without an increase in this cap, one of two things has to happen. Well, I think only one thing can happen. We'll have to downsize the program somehow, which will no doubt impact its ability to perform at a good level. So that's basically it. This is not brought on by any other sudden change. It's just a continuing drop in numbers that's been manifested primarily in the last 8 years. There's parts of western South Dakota, as you're all aware, that have been in approximately an eight-year drought to this point. In my mind, absolutely no indication that it's over, some indication that it's worsening. So we don't know if this dollar, this increase from 80 cents to a dollar in the cap will be sufficient. We're hopeful it will be, but I can't guarantee you won't be back here next year asking for more. If the head count would drop under a million, it might take a dollar and a quarter to operate this thing. I'm not sure. That's kind of a worst case scenario, but we're dealing with something that we're not familiar with. If you see fit to pass this increase in the cap, we still need to go through a rules process, have a public hearing on whether we increase the rate, which is at the old cap right now. It's at 80 cents, that's the cap. Before we could go up to 85, 90, 95, or a dollar, we'd need to have a rules process hearing, a fully noticed public hearing on it, take the public's comments, and then the board, which is made up of five individuals who are in the cattle business and pay this fee themselves, we would need to determine what level to take it up to. So in summary, I would ask your favorable view on this request. Again, it's an increase in the cap. We're at the cap at 80. And we think that a dollar is necessary to make the program just pay for itself if all we're going to inspect is 1.2 million head. And that looks like where we're at this year. And again, there's little sign now that there's a significant enough moisture to do anything but threaten further liquidation out there, and that'll be a big challenge for us to try to go forward, project how to run the program. But this dollar is critical the way it looks in the present environment. Thank you.
Thank you, Kurt. I'll have some questions for you afterwards, but are there other proponents of the bill?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Kenny Fox, and I'm a lobbyist for the South Dakota Stock Growers Association. We do support the raising of the cap. I think in the future that, in the not too distant future, we probably will need to do this. And if the cap is raised, that allows the brand board to raise the fee with public input. Thank you.
Other proponents?
Chairman Dunwald, members of the committee, Rick Fox from Hermosa, producer, testifying on behalf of myself. What this bill does is just gives the brand board the flexibility, like Mr. Mortensen said, to get this fee up to a workable level that we can keep the program going. Like Mr. Mortensen said, it has to go through the process yet. If we don't pass this increase, we're looking at next year plus maybe 4 to 6 months for the hearing and rules review and stuff before it can go into effect. So I think the sooner the better to get this, at least give the board the flexibility to raise this. Thank you.
Okay. Any other proponents? Are there any opponents? Any opponents to the bill? I'm going to close the committee hearing then to committee questions. Discussion and action. But first of all, I have one question for you. For all the proponents, probably. Why are we only raising this to a dollar? Probably wouldn't a dollar and a quarter be more appropriate?
Well, actually, Mr. Chairman, that's probably true. I mean, I guess we're all prone to be conservative if we're in the cattle business, and we hate to see things go up rapidly. But you're right. As a brand board member, I'm spooked by the situation. I think when the board decided a dollar, we were optimistic that the dollar would be sufficient for now. But the situation is volatile enough that it does concern us. There's been a steady, slow increase over history in this, in the cap. It seldom raises more than, you know, once or twice a decade. We just increased from 70 cents to 80 cents effective the first of last year. And so we're trying to marshal our costs here and compare them to this dangerous number situation. We think as a board that a dollar is sufficient, but we are not without concern based on the weather situation West River. So I guess for now the board is taking a position of a dollar, and I'm going to stick with that. But I voiced it here. I'm concerned. And if we run into that critical situation, Mr. Chairman, we're going to be back here quicker next year. And we haven't even gone through the rules deal yet. What do we kick it up to? Do we go to the dollar right away? My feeling is we have to. Now, unless the rains come and the numbers don't bear out the way they're going, I can fully predict that if this cap is raised, we're going to go to it right away. And that's my opinion. My opinion as one board member. But I think we're going to have to go there. So I think a dollar is sufficient for now, but I hate to do this every year, but the situation is that volatile West River because of the numbers.
I understand it fully. I know where you're at. Any questions, Senator Lodge?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The horse fee is still at 80 cents then as well. Is that correct? What is the horse inspection fee now?
Mr. Chairman, the horse fee is at 80 cents right along with cattle. The bill as it was amended in the House would allow for horses to go up to a dollar right along with cattle.
Follow-up question?
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
And then it says horses and mules. Would that apply to donkeys too?
You know, I'm not completely sure because I don't have the definition of livestock in front of me, but I believe the bill strictly says livestock. And I think under the definition of livestock, it has horses and mules included in there, Senator, but I'm not sure about donkeys.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions from the committee? Any discussion from the committee on the bill?
Well, I'll go ahead and make a do pass motion.
Move do pass. I hear a second. Second. Discussion on the motion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't know. I seldom have voted for these increases, but I do have some heartburn. They were asking for $10 originally for the horses and mules. We're still not sure on the donkey issue. I guess that would be included. And, you know, the increases, and it was just a few years ago that that our governor was asking for investigations, saying the money wasn't used appropriately. And I certainly didn't agree with it, and the attorney general and all that. And now we're turning around and raising it for more money. And I guess I know they do a tremendous job, but I just have some heartburn. Just because it rains doesn't mean they're going to have more cattle in the neighborhood. In fact, there'll be less selling in that region. If they would move more cattle back in, that would be another thing. I don't know. I'm really undecided at this time. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the do pass motion? I really think the problem is not high enough, but that's my thoughts. That Secretary Colorado answer appropriately. Your name is called and do pass motion.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gary Hansen?
Pass.
Klocek?
No.
Lance?
Aye.
McNenny? Peterson?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tom Hansen?
Aye.
Denwald?
Aye.
6 yes, 1 no. Seven yes, one no.
Seven one goes down due pass.
Mr. Chairman, does this need to go through GOAC? Or?
I don't think it's not required. It's not good. I swear it's for a quarter, like 20 cents. Now we'll take up House Bill 1079. Act to revise the tax credit for certain renewable resource energy systems.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Hunter Roberts with the Department of Tourism and State Development. I apologize, my badge is sitting on my desk over at Capitol Lake Plaza. So thank you for letting me speak. This bill comes from the Department of Tourism and State Development. We see a need out there. Currently, there's quite a few anaerobic digester eligible facilities. And we feel that qualifying the anaerobic digesters for renewable energy tax credit would give them the opportunity to possibly become more economically feasible, get to that tipping point, and spur more development. What this tax incentive does, it just amends current law to include anaerobic digesters that sell energy into this existing program. The intern handed out what the current statute is, just kind of for some background information for you folks. this anaerobic digester tax credit would work for, say, a mill bank or a, there's an anaerobic digester up at Mill Bank, the Midwest Dairy Institute, up in Senator Peterson's area. This would allow for new, this tax credit would be allowed for new facilities of that nature. That's kind of what the focus is. An example of how this would work is this would be a Milbank type facility, Midwest Dairy Institute type facility, would be eligible for a 50% tax credit for the first 5 years or first 3 years, and then a declining tax credit the next 3 years. So if I had a $2 million digester, I would be only taxed on $1 million the first year of it, just carves off 50% of it for the first 3 years, and then $1.25 million the next year, and then declines another 25%, and then a 12.5% deduction in the following year. Anaerobic digesters do have many benefits. They provide low-cost distributed energy to our consumers, provides reliable baseload energy, provides additional income to our ag community, provides energy from many different locations, provides reasonably priced energy, helps eliminate water pollution, and eliminates the unpleasant smells that some of these facilities create, and it captures methane and prevents it from going into the atmosphere. For these reasons, I would hope that you would vote for House Bill 1079, and I will be available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents of 1079? Are there any other proponents of 1079? Any opponents? Any opponents? Any questions in the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lentz.
I have one question. Does this have a, what is the economic outcome for the revenue department on this? Is there any change?
It's revenue neutral for the Department of Revenue, the general funds. It does affect the counties in the first 6 years of a project. These anaerobic digesters have a 20 to 25 year lifetime, so they will lose some property tax or potential property tax income in the first 6 years of the project. We feel that, you know, spurring additional development outweighs that loss.
One question for him. Now, if I, for example, put one of these in, do I automatically get that deduction, or do I have to apply for it and I have to be approved by the county or whatever the case may be?
Yes, the process is, if you were, Mr. Chairman, if you were going to put one in, that you would apply to through the Department of Revenue and your local county tax assessor, the Department of Revenue, with all your expenses, the Department of Revenue would approve it, and then your local tax assessor would approve those expenses, and then they would make the change in your property tax assessment.
Can the local entity, whoever taxing entity, negate this? Do they have to issue this?
I don't believe they can. I think they do have to approve it, as I read the bill, or as I read the other laws. But they do have to approve the expenses involved.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Swanson, you said something that kind of caught my attention. You said it provides low-cost energy. Could you elaborate on that? What does it cost for electricity for one of these systems compared to wind power and coal and fuel or whatever, natural gas, propane? You kind of allude to how it's a low-cost system.
Currently in South Dakota, the way our typically a co-op would be the person or the entity buying electricity, what they pay for is they will pay the digester when they're selling electricity back into the grid what their cost savings or cost diversion was for energy at that time. I believe it's right now they're paying in the 3.3 cents per kilowatt range, which has gone up from the past few years. I anticipate it always going up as new resources that utility companies have to add on are more expensive today than they were 30 years ago.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. You didn't answer my question. The low-cost energy, how much does it cost the biodigester to produce? You know, you're saying how much that they're paying. The co-op will pay up to 3.3. I think their minimum is 1.9 that they have to pay, but they are paying 3.3. But what is it? Do you have some numbers on what the cost of these digesters to produce this energy is? Do you have anything on that?
Mr. Chairman? I guess not exactly. It depends on what other benefits you can capture from it. Like the Midwest Dairy Institute uses some of the waste from the digester as bedding. So that's an extra benefit. So that can bring down their cost of electricity. They don't require as much revenue stream. So there's several moving parts there. Far as what the actual cost is, it depends on the size of the facility and many other things.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Any other questions on 1079? Any discussion on from the committee? Hunter Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hunter, thank you for bringing this bill. The Midwest Area Institute is in my district, and I have toured that, and I think some of you have had the pleasure of touring that too when we did that that tour a couple years ago in eastern South Dakota. My district, the I-29 corridor, has a lot of new dairy growth, and I see the main benefit of a biodigester of being able to have large dairies in a populated area, because research shows that over 90% of the smell of a dairy can be eliminated with the proper use of a biodigester. They can be just a tremendous asset, I think, to the dairy industry, and it's a tremendous cost putting in a biodigester. I don't believe that they put it in solely for the electricity that they are generating and selling. I don't think it quite works out for them. And any help that we can give on the state level to encourage the development of biodigesters at more dairies, I think it's really worthwhile, because it not only benefits that dairy, it benefits the whole community. And that's what we have to be concerned with, benefiting the whole community, because it really cuts down on the smell. So I think this is a good first step. Thank you.
Any discussion or action on the bill?
Chairman, do pass.
Any discussion on that motion? Do pass. Ken Glocky.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I do plan to support this legislation. However, I am concerned. Comments are made about low-cost energy. We need to always have our proof, you know, before we say something like that. It'll be not a very cheap cost of energy. In fact, it's one of the highest energies of all the different type that we have from documentation that I've seen. But in the long run, exactly what Senator Peterson said, it will have some good use, not just in the dairies, but in the urban areas. And in the rural suburban areas for some odor and hydrogen sulfide containment, some toxic odor control, and the long-term benefits of it. We did enjoy the tour up in Senator Peterson's district, but we have to kind of be careful how we couch our words, and it will make it more reasonable with passage of this legislation, but still won't be the low-cost one.
Motion is due pass. And if there's no further discussion, the Secretary, call the roll. Answer appropriately, the name is your call.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gary Hansen?
Aye.
Klochak?
Aye.
Lentz?
Aye.
McNenny is excused. Peterson?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Denwalt?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Ton unanimous. Consent?
Move consent.
Okay. Move and second consent. Any in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
No.
Talk about it in the floor. With that, that concludes our business for the day. Other than the motion to adjourn, do I hear that?
Second.
Move and second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We are adjourned.